Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to recall a great moment for this great nation. In fact, a lot of people considered it the greatest moment in both pop culture and politics of the entire 19th century. What are we talking about? Victory in the Civil War? The abolition of slavery? No, something that attracted even more jubilation, even more hysteria, even more excitement than that for people who actually lived through it. It's something that occurred on May 10th, 1869. And that's the subject of this very special program of the Michael Medved Show. It's called Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike and its Miraculous Moment. And that moment actually unfolded for the people who lived in the United States at the time in 1869 as a spiritual milestone and not just a mechanical accomplishment. We're talking about the first transcontinental railroad anywhere, ever, in the history of humanity. And what's so amazing about this is what amazed people about the railroad at the time. Before trains began to be used in the United States in the 1830s, basically people couldn't travel any faster than the biblical Pharaoh had traveled with his chariots. No, really, think about it. And all of a sudden, the world changed. There are hundreds of people who gathered in the high desert of Utah Territory, and there were millions who celebrated the same magical moment by telegraphic connection in cities and villages all across the country. And for all of them, the pounding of the golden spike seemed like an open miracle. There was one guy named Hartwell Carver. He was a doctor who came from New York. He had been promoting the project with apocalyptic enthusiasm for more than 30 years. And he rapturously described the rail connection to the Pacific as the means of uniting the whole world in one great church, a part of whose worship will be to praise God and to bless the Oregon Railroad. He was 80 years old, but he made his way to Promontory Summit to provide his personal blessing on the completed task. There's also a telegraph wire that had been attached to the fateful golden nail, with another one fastened on the designated sledgehammer, so at the same moment that the breathlessly awaited blow would finally strike, a signal would spark instantaneously through a big web of cables informing every corner of the continent that the great work had reached its official completion, linking the Atlantic to the Pacific with a superhighway of iron bars. That message would provoke roaring cannon and blaring brass bands and church choirs erupting into exultant hymns of praise at the mid-afternoon moment that the assembled multitudes received it. But first, they prayed. At Promontory Summit, nearly a mile above sea level, the Reverend Dr. John Todd of Massachusetts stepped up before the crowd. A telegraph operator who had traveled to the site from Ogden, Utah, tapped out a series of dispatches to calm all the impatient participants who were waiting from coast to coast and gave them assurance that their jubilation could eventually commence. Almost ready, one telegram declared. And then, hats off, prayer is being offered. Reverend Todd then praised God's wonderful name and asked that this great work, so auspiciously begun and so magnificently completed, may remain a monument to our faith and good works. We here consecrate this great highway for the good of thy people. Then the next telegraphic message combined a sense of excitement with the obvious relief. Done praying, it tersely declared. The spike is about to be presented. And then more fretting before the grand climax. The next message, already now. The spike will soon be driven. The signal will be three dots for the commencement of the blows. Leland Stanford, who was a Sacramento store owner who had served one term as governor of California and would go on to found a great university, got the privilege of initiating those blows. He was one of the principal investors in the Central Pacific Railroad, and he dressed in top hat and formal suit, an incongruous outfit for this remote and desolate windy location. He paused for a moment to contemplate the grandeur of the occasion, then he lifted the hammer above his portly frame, and then he swung it toward the ceremonial spike. But somehow he managed to miss entirely. Still, the blow clanged against the rail. It produced applause and hurrahs, causing the telegraph operator to click out his awaited notification. Done! As cannon and choruses exploded from coast to coast. At that very moment, in Washington, D.C., more than 100 artillery pieces discharged simultaneously. They produced a thunderous roar that residents never forgot. Several reporters estimated that the celebratory volleys all across the country delivered more firepower in a single hour than all of the booming cannon of Union and Confederacy combined in all 3 days of the recent Battle of Gettysburg. Inside New York's venerable, elegant Trinity Church, right down there at the near Wall Street, the Reverend Dr. Morgan Dix ascended the pulpit to announce that the extreme borders of our land have been joined and brought nigh together, and a pathway opened between remote parts of the earth, both for the commerce of the nations and for a highway and a way whereby thy gospel may have free course, and thy holy name may be glorified. Everywhere, citizens similarly praise the new transcontinental connection as a sign of godly glory and an indication of America's divinely designated destiny. Philadelphians heard the pealing of bells in Independence Hall, echoed immediately at nearby fire stations, quote, drawing a crowd into the streets, an eyewitness reported. Flags were immediately hoisted everywhere. A large number of steam fire engines were ranged in front of Independence Hall, with screeching whistles, horse carriages, bells ringing, and etc. Joy was expressed in every face at the completion of the great work of the century. Special pride characterized the emotional reaction in Salt Lake City, the closest permanent settlement to the ceremony at Promontory Summit. Brigham Young's Mormon capital felt a proprietary stake in the achievement because of the prominent part played by 5,000 tireless Latter-day Saints who labored in laying the track. An astonishing 7,000 worshipers jammed into the Mormon tabernacle, representing an apparent majority of the young town's population of 12,000. One elderly church leader from England was named John Taylor, and he exulted in the seemingly supernatural nature of an accomplishment, quote, so stupendous that we can scarcely find the words to express our sentiments or give vent to our admiration. He went on to recall his boyhood in another country and another epoch. I can very well remember the time when there was no such thing as a railroad in existence, he told the astonished throng. I rode on the first train that was ever made, soon after its completion, that was between Manchester and Liverpool, England. Now, that primitive but functional railway ran just over 30 miles, and it began moving passengers in 1830, astonishing the world and inspiring a frenzy of copycat construction. Less than 2 years later, the first train service came to the United States, with ambitious little lines in South Carolina and upstate New York. Breathless newspaper accounts excited dreamers and schemers even when the wondrous new technology hadn't yet made its way anywhere near their own isolated villages and farms. For instance, one young Illinois shopkeeper had grown up in remote frontier settlements in Kentucky and Indiana, and he never glimpsed a train of any kind, but he nevertheless began talking earnestly to his neighbors all about the need for governmental support to bring a railroad to their region. That was the 23-year-old Abraham Lincoln, who made his first run for public office in 1832 with a platform stressing enthusiastic support for a possible rail connection between the new town of Springfield and the Illinois River. In one of his campaign speeches, the candidate for a seat in the state legislature hailed the potential of rail transport with near mystical fervor and proclaimed that no other improvement can equal in utility the railroad.
The Michael Medved Show. All across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Summertime, and a lot of Americans get more active. And when you get more active, sometimes that causes some aches and pain. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee. I mean, I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at MichaelMedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health-giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Michael Medved Show, a special show about steel rails that connected a continent. And one man whose vision helped to guide that entire project was Abraham Lincoln. And when he's 23 years old and he's making his first run for public office, running for the Illinois legislature, he gave a speech in which he talked about the near mystical faith that he had in the potential of rail transport. He said, "No other improvement can equal in utility the railroad." Well, he lost that first election. He finished eighth of 13 candidates, but he never lost the passionate interest that he had in rail transportation. In the legal practice that later punctuated and propelled his political progress, he earned his best fees as a railroad lawyer, especially during the 7 years he spent as counsel to the powerful Illinois Central Railroad. His work not only helped to settle complex shareholder disputes, but it allowed the company to escape onerous tax burdens and to build the crucial infrastructure that made the Illinois Central the dominant corporation in the entire state. Throughout all these political and legal battles, Lincoln exemplified the enraptured attitudes that led a French economist whose name was Michel Chevalier to observe in 1850, "The Americans have a perfect passion for railroads." In February of 1859, as a recently defeated senatorial candidate, the future president gave poetic expression to that passion in a memorable lecture on discoveries and inventions that he delivered in Jacksonville, Illinois. The local literary society received the lanky visitor with repeated and hearty bursts of applause from an eager audience that was conscious of his celebrity status. Lincoln had conducted an unexpectedly strong challenge to the powerful incumbent senator and an outspoken railroad advocate himself, Stephen Douglas, which started rumors that he might potentially run for the presidency, which he ended up doing, of course. Well, that long-shot campaign for the Senate installed him in the White House barely 2 years later, after the talk in Jacksonville, where the president sought to invoke the spirit of restless youth. Here's what he said. "We have all heard of young America," he told the curious crowd. "Is he not the inventor and owner of the present and sole hope of the future?" Honest Abe harbored no doubt at all what form of transportation would deliver young America to that future. "The iron horse is panting and impatient," he said, "to carry him everywhere in no time. And the lightning stands ready, harnessed to take the and bring his tidings in a trifle less than no time. He owns a large part of the world by right of possessing it, and all the rest by right of wanting it, and intending to have it. He is a great friend of humanity, and his desire for land is not selfish, but merely an impulse to extend the area of freedom. It is in this view that I have mentioned the discovery of America as an event greatly favoring and facilitating useful discoveries and inventions." From the perspective of the antebellum era, in fact, no invention looked more useful or more revolutionary than the steam locomotive. Before that marvelous technology appeared in the British Midlands, no human being could travel on land at greater speed than the charioteers who followed that biblical pharaoh in pursuit of the escaping Israelites more than 3,000 years earlier. For Americans, the development of rail transport promised another kind of deliverance, even more miraculous than the rescue at the Red Sea. Suddenly, fire-breathing, belching, metallic behemoths could transport whole crowds of human cargo, along with nearly unlimited freight at sustained speeds of more than 20 miles an hour, covering long distances four times faster than even the strongest horse. By the time of Lincoln's Jacksonville speech, locomotives could hit speeds of 60 miles an hour on sections of straightaway track, topping the furious gallop of racing, well-lathered thoroughbreds at their home stretch moments of greatest exertion. Trains changed everything in terms of the nation's continental vision. During the California Gold Rush of 1849, thousands of adventurers made the arduous, uncertain overland trek from the eastern seaboard. They traveled to the gold fields in wagons pulled by oxen or mules, risking life and health in a perilous journey that required a minimum of 4 months and often lasted more than half a year. Traveling by ship cost far more, following a route of 15,000 miles around Cape Horn at the tip of South America, with weary travelers hoping to see successfully deposit themselves in San Francisco 3 to 5 months later, depending on the winds and the tides. And then there was the Panama shortcut. That trimmed 8,000 miles of ocean travel, but it required a dangerous overland jungle passage on routes near the site of the modern-day canal, with serious risks of malaria, yellow fever, and cholera, and significant difficulties in boarding a second ship on the Pacific coast of the isthmus. If all went well, the survivors could arrive in the Golden State within 2 months. But advocates for a Pacific Railway promised to provide passage in as little as a week, with a supernatural ability to barrel through unilluminated darkness and inclement weather toward even the most distant destination. That power could change everything, transforming the United States for the first time into a truly continental confederation. In 1849, President Zachary Taylor had offered Abraham Lincoln a promising appointment as governor of the Oregon Territory. But the former congressman turned it down because of the settlement's remote status in a drank, untamed corner of the map, far removed from civilization. With regular train service, the settlements in California, Oregon, and the new Washington Territory would no longer qualify as the equivalent of isolated, vulnerable overseas possessions. A trip to the West Coast need not resemble some risky intergalactic voyage through endless nothingness to a space colony in another solar system. No wonder that 19th century Americans looked upon trains with the same awe and wonder with which later generations viewed fanciful spacecraft in science fiction movies. John McDowell Levitt, who was an Episcopal clergyman and popular novelist and president of Lehigh University, memorably celebrated the locomotive as a godly and redemptive instrument. The prophet of peace, he said, the messenger of civilization, the herald of the millennium, the conqueror of humanity, and the John the Baptist of Christianity, raising the valleys, leveling the mountains, and making the crooked straight and the rough plain for the monarch of the universe. All that for a locomotive? Well, the shining new path between the seas could, in other words, alter the nature of the landscape itself, changing the great emptiness at the core of the continent from an affliction to an opportunity. True believers expected that a transcontinental railroad would not only bind the Pacific states to the rest of the country with bands of metal, but could also help to fill the empty land in between with farms and with free men. How did they do it? It seemed impossible at the time. The rest of the story, connecting the continent, the Golden Spike's miraculous moment, coming up on the MedVed Show.
To order this special show, go to MedVidHistoryStore.com. All across America, this is the Michael MedVed Show.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A federal judge on Monday ordered a stop to the Justice Department's review of material seized from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. Two nuclear energy experts are saying the Russia-occupied nuclear plant in Ukraine is on a permanent basis. A Russian official acknowledging the experts would be remaining, but wouldn't say how long they would be at the plant. Water pressure returned to usual levels in Jackson, Mississippi over the weekend. However, residents are advised to boil any water before drinking. Mississippi Republican Governor Tate Reeves claims Jackson residents will have access to clean water after the bad water has been flushed through the system.
I'm very happy to report that we have returned water pressure to the city. The tanks are full or filling.
Bottled water is still being distributed by FEMA. USA Radio News.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. It's called Connecting the Continent, the Golden Spike and its Miraculous Moment. While there had been talk and dreams of a transcontinental connection by rail, before the Civil War, that glorious prospect looked remote, even forbidding. There was a New York newspaper titan, the most famous newspaper editor in the country, Horace Greeley, who followed his own advice to go west, young man, and traveled by wagon and stagecoach across the continent. He did that right before the Civil War, and he judged much of the terrain unfit for human habitation. "I thought I had seen barrenness before," he wrote of the parched rocky territory of Nevada, noting that there famine sits enthroned and waves his scepter over a dominion expressly made for him. Lincoln himself journeyed to the edge of this same spacious vacancy in August of 1859 to make a political speech and to scout potential origination points for a Grand Pacific Railroad. He rode the existing lines all the way to their western terminus, which was in Council Bluffs, Iowa, just across the Missouri River and a ferry ride away from the bustling frontier town of Omaha, Nebraska. He'd become involved in a complicated land deal, Lincoln had, with one of his political and business partners in Illinois, who had acquired some lots on the Iowa side of the river. Now, naturally, this property would greatly increase in value if construction of a railroad to California ever actually commenced. So the day after his well-attended address at the local concert hall, Lincoln met with a group of business leaders on the broad, sagging porch of a grand but rickety hotel known as Pacific House. Among them, he took a particular interest in the 28-year-old Grenville Dodge, who had earned a reputation as the leading railroad engineer of the whole region. Taking him aside, the railroad lawyer, already known as Honest Abe, posed a pertinent question. Dodge, what's the best route for a Pacific Railroad to the West? They spoke about it for more than 2 hours on that hotel porch, locked in earnest conversation about the plans and prospect that Dodge had developed over the course of several years. He remembered later, Mr. Lincoln sat down beside me, and by his kindly ways soon drew for me all I knew. He shelled my woods completely and got all the information I'd collected. This interview was of the greatest importance to me. It was a milestone in my life, and Lincoln never forgot it. Dodge knew that Lincoln remembered their talk because he referred to it at the height of the Civil War, when he twice summoned the young engineer to the White House. By that time, Dodge had established himself as one of the most capable and versatile generals in the Union Army. He demonstrated conspicuous valor on numerous battlefields, along with an uncanny ability to survive enemy bullets that ripped through his body on several occasions. Through every ordeal, he maintained the confident conviction that a higher power protected him for the purpose of engineering the Transcontinental Railroad after the war. In 1861, he suffered serious damage to his left leg when a pistol in his coat pocket went off accidentally. And the next year, he displayed fearless gallantry in the Battle of Pea Ridge, with three horses shot out from under him and grievous wounds to his torso and his hand. After his recovery, he became one of the first federal officers to recruit escaped slaves for the Union cause, inspiring considerable controversy at the time. In the last stages of the war, he led a division at the Siege of Atlanta, where a Confederate sharpshooter spotted the blue coat general as he peered through a peephole toward the front of battle. That marksman took careful aim and then hit his target squarely in the head in what appeared to be a fatally accurate shot. Dodge blacked out immediately, bled profusely, and remained unconscious for 2 full days before another sudden, miraculous recovery. His return to combat amazed and cheered Generals Grant and Sherman, both of whom cherished Dodge as indispensable. After the war, General Oliver Otis Howard wrote that General G.M. Dodge was Sherman's special favorite on account of his work with bridge-making and railway construction on marches or in battles. One good reason for this was Dodge's courage was always calm and his equanimity contagious, no matter how great or trying the disturbing causes. Well, Lincoln himself clearly viewed Granville Dodge as an essential element in realizing his dream of constructing a railroad to the Pacific Coast as his prime post-war priority. During each of the general's hospitalizations, politicians and businessmen tried to persuade him to resign from the army to concentrate on constructing rail lines that would make their own contribution to the federal cause. Each time, Dodge refused. "Nothing but the utter defeat of the rebel armies will ever bring peace," he declared. "I have buried some of my best friends in the South, and I intend to remain there until we can visit their graves under the peaceful protection of that flag that every loyal citizen loves to honor and every soldier fights to save." Once they had saved it, how did they build this amazing work? We'll get to that and more on this special broadcast.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of The Michael Medved Show. For more history programs, go to MedvedHistoryStore.com or become a Medhead at MichaelMedved.com.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the queen of glowing mountains to the South Bell by the shore, she's mighty tall and handsome and known quite well by all. She is the combination on the Wabash Cannonball.
That song, the Wabash Cannonball, was actually first published 13 years after the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad in 1882. And here it's sung by the great Roy Acuff in one of the best-selling singles ever recorded way back in the 1930s. In any event, from the great Atlantic Ocean to the white broad Pacific shore, that's the direction they had to build the Transcontinental Railroad. And even though the Civil War delayed General Granville Dodge's personal participation in laying track to the West Coast, that war did play a larger role in actually hastening the epic project. Why? Because for more than 20 years before the conflict, Washington politicians had debated the prospects for that kind of line, but sectional rivalry blocked any consensus or agreement. In 1853, Congress authorized an analysis of the potential routes and assigned that job to evaluate them all to the Secretary of War at the time. His name? Jefferson Davis. Yes, that Jefferson Davis, later President of the Confederacy. As a loyal Mississippian, Secretary Davis strongly favored a southern route. What a surprise, hugging the Mexican border and culminating in San Diego. Now, southerners like Davis felt confident that following that path would not only provide economic advantages for their region, but it would help to assure the extension of slavery from Texas through New Mexico and Arizona territories and perhaps even into Southern California. Free state members of the Senate and House hated the idea of a Southern Railroad precisely for that reason, insisting on a route through the Great Plains that would take freight and passengers all the way to Sacramento. Well, the disagreement proved no easier to resolve than any other aspect of the sectional dispute until the southern states made their fateful decision to leave the Union in 1861. Secession may have been a disaster for the nation, but it proved an immediate boon to the prospects of a transcontinental rail line. With representatives from 11 slave states suddenly abandoning the federal Congress, all opposition to the northern route just left the building. It was gone. But even as political obstacles disappeared, the practical problems remained, especially the near-universal skepticism about ever building a railroad that could transit the steep, jagged heights of the Sierra Nevada mountains. That range presented such a formidable, sometimes deadly challenge to all would-be pioneers who tried to take their ox-drawn carts and wagons through the passes, that the difficulty of building tunnels and bridges that could accommodate huge, unwieldy locomotives looked even worse. Hubert Howe Bancroft, recently arrived in San Francisco and later a very distinguished historian of California, commented that the talk of constructing a rail line struck savvy observers as so stupendous and hazardous an enterprise, it appears an act of madness or inspiration. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free if you join us as a Medhead Plus member. The cost is 22 cents a day for everything. And you have access to over 100 different subjects covered on Medved History Store programming. Check it out right now. It is a great opportunity. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want to go ahead and stream it and to listen to it and commercial free. Medhead Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time. Learn a lot. Costs, well, very little, 22 cents a day. Join us as a Medhead Plus member as soon as you can.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history, physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
You're listening to a special history broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. For a complete list of history shows, visit medvedhistorystore.com.
Well, public opinion tilted so heavily toward lunacy as the preferred explanation for the improbable project that Californians spent years deriding its chief advocate and architect with an unshakable nickname that presumed his insanity. Theodore Dahon Judah became universally known as Crazy Judah, more for his focused, feverish obsession with the Transcontinental Project than for any details of his dreamy delusions. A visitor to Sacramento named John McIntyre once recalled standing on 7th Street with grocer Newton Booth, who suddenly explained, "Oh, there he comes, Crazy Judah!" McIntyre watched with bemused interest, recalling that he had never before met an insane man. But as the stranger approached, he felt mildly disappointed to meet a well-dressed gentleman with a neatly trimmed little beard, glittering eyes, and an earnest manner. After concluding the brief street encounter, Booth explained that Ted Judah exemplified a special sort of madness. He had become notorious as Pacific Railroad crazy, utterly insufferable and monomaniacal regarding the prospect for a grand and prosperous project. A preposterous project, in fact. Booth and other locals had endured his rant so often from Crazy Judah and so insistently that they banned the determined engineer from ever raising the subject in any context and thereby giving vent to his madness. Now, these restrictions may have limited Judah's conversation, but they did nothing to cool or deflect the animating passion of his life. He was the son of an Episcopal clergyman from Connecticut, and young Theodore nursed youthful dreams of military glory. After his father's death, when the boy was only 13, it was his brother who got to enroll in West Point, while Ted began working with local railroads. He studied engineering at New York's Troy School of Technology, later Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. But more importantly, he gained hands-on experience in every aspect of railroad construction and design. At age 21, he married the elegant and accomplishment Anna Ferona Pierce. She was a cousin of the future President of the United States, Franklin Pierce. Now, this young lady, who was considered a prized catch, showed talent as a skilled painter and a confident writer, while sharing her husband's boundless energy and adventurous spirit. In her memoirs, she recalled some of their blissful joint excursions into remote and unexplored corners of the continent, where he measured and tracked potential rail lines, while she painted happily detailed landscapes to celebrate the rustic scenes. They moved 20 times in the course of just 16 years of marriage. But Anna savored all the challenges and hardships as Ted pursued his world-shaking aspirations. He enjoyed his first great success while still in his 20s when he built the Niagara Gorge Railroad that helped make the famous falls accessible to hordes of new tourists and constituted one of the purportedly impossible engineering feats of the 1840s. To skeptical investors who doubted his ability to overcome the obvious obstacles, Ted Judah boldly declared, "Gentlemen, raise the money and I will build your road." Years later, Anna noted that when they always considered what they always considered our honeymoon college on the banks of the river between the falls and the suspension bridge is still there, with a beautiful view of both falls and Whirlpool Rapids below the bridge. He selected the site, built the college, built the cottage, and there had his railroad office and did his work for that wonderful piece of engineering. But that was only a foretaste of what was to come for the most romantic couple when it came to building the Transcontinental Railroad. Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show. More coming up.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Whatever the controversies, whatever the surprises in the world around us at the moment, it's important to get some perspective, and no better source of perspective than the history of this great country. At MedvedHistoryStore.com, check out some of the titles we have on offer about the Constitution, about the origins of our tax system, about the history of third parties, about the question of whether America really is a Christian or is it a secular nation. There's a trick answer to that trick question. Enrich your understanding and appreciation with CDs and MP3 downloads at MedvedHistoryStore.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
This time, the rampaging dinosaurs aren't just threatening a theme park or even a few cities. It's the very continuation of life on Earth in any form that is at stake in the sixth film of this nearly 30-year-old franchise, Jurassic World Dominion. Now available for rent on multiple streaming services.
The doomsday clock might be about out of time.
If our world's going to survive, what matters is what we do now.
And what they do now, which helps the film a great deal, is bringing back beloved stars from the original Jurassic Park movie, Jeff Goldblum, Sam Neill, and Laura Dern. Does the plot make sense? Well, of course not, but the animatronic beasts, together with computer-generated imagery, are so impressive that even those with dimming affection for this venerable series will, chances are, feel satisfied with the result. Rated PG-13, for several graphic scenes of prehistoric carnivores turning people into munchies. 3 stars for Jurassic World Dominion. Special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show called Connecting a Continent. Anna and Ted Judah only got to live in the beautiful honeymoon cottage she had built right near Niagara Falls very briefly before a business trip that he took to New York City in 1854. And from that trip, he sent a telegram home to his wife, ordering her to pack her bags. When he returned late that same night, he shouted out his great news before he could even walk through the door. "Anna, I am going to California to be the pioneering railroad engineer of the Pacific Coast," he announced in his booming voice. "It is my opportunity." Now, at that point, no tracks traversed any portion of the Golden State, and no locomotive had ever sounded its haunting whistle to pierce the wilderness silence west of the Missouri River. Across nearly 3 million square miles of the American West, the modern marvel of train transportation simply did not exist. In the gold rush town of Sacramento, already established as the new state's capital city, a group of enterprising merchants resolved to correct the situation. They summoned Ted Judah to build the region's first train line to cover the short distance to the gold fields in the nearby Sierra foothills. They meant to transport picks, shovels, tents, blankets, food, tobacco, booze, and other necessities to the hordes of hungry miners who still searched for sudden wealth as they struggled to stay alive. To build even that modest railroad, Judah needed to transport all the locomotives, the train cars, the rails, and other equipment from the East Coast to the West, piling it onto ships for the months-long journey around the tip of South America, and once arrived in San Francisco Bay, then the cargo could be reloaded onto riverboats to steam that final 90 miles to the frontier capital, best known for its saloons, gambling dens, boarding houses, criminal gangs, and, of course, even then, ambitious politicians. Now, immune to all such distractions, Ted Judah focused with single-minded ferocity on his God-given mission to build railroads that would conquer and civilize the untamed, awe-inspiring landscape that surrounded him. He felt especially challenged and inspired by the Sierra Nevada Mountains, later described by naturalist John Muir as the range of light, miles in height, and so gloriously colored and so radiant it seemed not closed with light but wholly composed of it, like the wall of some celestial city. Ted Judah understood, however heavenly their appearance, the mighty Sierra constituted formidable walls to block his ambitions. The soaring, snow-packed peaks represented the most significant barrier between the boomtown settlements and mineral wealth of the Golden State and the crowded cities and teeming farmland that beckoned so seductively to the east. So he began badgering anyone who would listen about his unique ability to breach that barrier if only he received the support and financing required. With long, florid dispatches that he published regularly in the Sacramento Union, he enhanced his reputation as a mad obsessive by insistently arguing for the many ways that his grand plans would benefit California, the nation, and the world. But how could they possibly come true? It's part of the amazing story of connecting the continent, the Golden Spike and its miraculous moment in this greatest nation on God's green earth. This is Michael Medved at michaelmedved.com for Town Hall. The collapse of the family stands at the heart of America's most pressing, painful problems. Addiction and suicide, economic inequality, educational underperformance, and even homelessness. Recent statistics show that majorities of millennials who produce children do so outside of marriage. A University of Michigan study indicates that an amazing 20% of young adults report no contact, none, with their birth fathers. In response to the crisis, the left emphasizes redistribution of wealth or more generous welfare programs, ignoring the fact that even wealthy families suffer from breakdown or breakup. On the right, we stress the need for religious revival to strengthen family life, despite the prevalence of divorce and out-of-wedlock birth, even among the fervently faithful. We need fresh efforts to change values and culture from leaders in government, media, business, religion, and education, mobilized under a two-word slogan, Family First.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.